welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan Corpus Delecti Preston. And so we're going to just go straight to it. A man arrested in the 1987 killing of a couple in Washington State used new DNA technology that has led to the arrest of a 55-year-old man for the killing of a young Canadian couple in Washington State more than three decades ago. The craziest thing is they used the same idea as they did to catch the Golden State Killer. So, and he says he was never on any law enforcement list. He was never on any list law enforcement had. There was never a tip providing his name, says Detective John Scharf. So here's the question. What do you think of law enforcement using open source DNA sharing databases to catch criminals? I did want to preface a few things real quick, saying a lot of these open source databases, the people actually have to submit their DNA to it. It's not like you're signing up for 23andMe or Ancestry.com and it automatically goes to it. It is something you do, you welcomely submit your genetic profile to it, and you do realize that you cannot control it once it's out in the open. So, I just wanted to say
so
that.
My thinking on this whole thing is, if you want to do it, that's bloody well fine. And I would think that you would have to sign up for it and blah, blah, blah. And as far as criminality goes in it, if you are a felon, I believe that you need to have your DNA taken because you give up all your rights as a felon. That already happens.
I did hear something that I didn't read.
I'm cool with that. There misdemeanors? No.
There was something I read, and I got to read. I got to find the article again. They were talking about how every newborn baby has their DNA taken.
Yeah, I disagree with that type of shit.
Now, the question is, I didn't get a chance to read the actual article because I was actually in the middle of work, but that's something I was curious on. Ryan, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Vagina?
No, it's fine. I was going to say, though, I mean, you said it yourself, though, open source, you know, yeah. So it's like, hey, look, if you signed up for this thing and that was part of the user agreement, you know, either read it better if you have a problem with it or... You know, you could use another company who I'm sure has a thing in there that says, hey, by the way, we won't disclose this information, et cetera, et cetera. But
now, do you think this was in bad
faith?
No, my question is, do you think this was in bad faith? Because this is my thought would be I'd never submit. I've done an Ancestry DNA. I'll never submit my DNA to any open source things. But do you think that would be bad faith that you want to find family members? Turns out that now you're in an open source CODIS database.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I doubt from a legal standpoint that they you know would probably maybe have that in like hey, by the way, you know, this if we're, you know, this can be used for other shit. See, luckily I don't think we're in the era that we need to start worrying about clones being made of ourselves because somebody has our DNA. You know, what's somebody going to do with my DNA other than something that I either paid them to do because these things are expensive, or something like this, you know, catching criminals.
No offense, Ryan. I doubt anybody's begging to make a clone of you.
Oh yeah. No, that's my point is
I did already.
there's like 11 people that maybe everyone can sort of universally agree on. Hey, maybe we should get more of these people, but We're not in the era where we need to worry about, oh, someone's going to replicate my DNA or use that to start bank accounts, as it were. You know what I mean? I'm more worried about identity theft via social security numbers than I am for what the government might want my DNA for.
Maybe it's because I've watched too many sci-fi movies that when I heard of this open source DNA thing, it just set off all sorts of alarms. I mean, I wanted to find more about my family history. That's why I did Ancestry.com, because my grandfather refused to say anything about his family's history, literally died not saying anything. But even giving my DNA, I'm kind of like, God, this has so much potential to go sideways somehow. I mean, I don't do anything. Only thing I do is once in a while speed. But so
wait, you do speedballs? What?
Yeah, speeding. You know, if it's 65 miles an hour, I'll go 67.
Sure.
I you weren't the only one that took it that way, James. I was like, he does speed?
Sure.
Holy John. Shit.
Yeah, this twitch doesn't come naturally. What? Come on.
Medicinal meth? I mean, is that what's going on?
Roll it back. He says the words, I do speed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I heard, too.
By the way, I did hear somebody in the state of California that said the words, and I quote, medicinal meth. I heard that recently.
See how he's changing the subject? I mean...
No, it's not a subject change.
Do I need to have a talk with your family? Do we need to have an intervention here?
So,
John, enough speed.
So what do you think about that? Do you think meth could be done for healthy purposes?
Well, it used to. I mean, the doctors used to prescribe it to women for weight loss. I mean, that's why the old diet pill jokes were always there.
And now they're out stealing the stereo out of your car and the factory rims.
Do you have any more pep pills? Pep pills? Pep pills? What? Did I have pep pills?
So have you guys ever heard of something called, it's Colonia? So it's in...
What?
It's called Colonia. It's, if I remember correctly, it's in Argentina. It's what happened... No, is it Argentina? It's basically what happened... It's all the Nazis. All the Nazis that were able to escape went there.
Yeah. All the defectors started like this fucking Bavarian fucking town in the middle of Argentina.
Yep. I was on the Joe Rogan podcast recently. One of the guys on there was talking about found out there's this like...
Right.
In the middle of it, there's this German-speaking town. Like 100% German.
There was more than one. There's actually rooms.
Yeah, it was.
All over
it was the episode with Tim Kennedy.
Yes,
he's a like a special ops in the army. Fucking crazy savage of a fucking dude.
Special ops slash MMA fighter. It sounds like he's done everything.
What's crazy about Tim Kennedy? He brings it up in the podcast, and I hate fucking talking about fucking somebody else's podcast while we're doing a podcast, but you know, do it anyway.
You guys do it all the time with Joe Rogan.
I at least like to give credit where credit's due.
I'm just stating the fact. I mean,
it's meta.
I mean, you guys really love Joe Rogan.
Actually, this is the first podcast of his I've listened to in a while. He has interesting guests.
I'm giving you guys enough shit about Joe Rogan.
The second we have,
are we going to plug him again?
We have
Joe Rogan?
Fucking as interesting guests as he do.
I mean, does he give me money every time I say Joe Rogan?
The episode was interesting because he talked about this guy talked about going to this place, and everybody spoke like perfect German. All of them were white, and like these were like second or third generation family members, and they brought out their grandfather's medals and their like Nazi stuff.
Did you watch the show?
Me? Yeah. I listened to it.
You did. You watched the, what was it, Chasing Hitler, I think it's called?
Oh, no, that's, I want to see it because I was curious about it. Because that's what he was doing.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for reminding me, though. He was doing a show called Chasing Hitler, trying to see if Hitler actually survived using military, like spec op, warfare, information specialists.
I think he's in the South Pole.
Trying to actually see, did he survive? Because at the time when they were doing the show... They did a DNA test. The skull turned out to be like 35-year-old female type of thing, and so they went around traveling, and so it's an interesting show to find out that there's this German speaking colony in the middle of nowhere, who somehow
I believe it's on it's on A&E. I think they've done like a season or two of it so far.
Ooh, I'll have to. I want to see if I can find.
Oh wait, no, it might be History Channel.
Can't be History Channel. They don't do anything interesting anymore. It's got to be A&E. or on Discovery Channel or one of those. It's not history.
National Geographic thing?
Might be. It's something. They still do stuff like that. But it was interesting. Like, how they stayed in power is basically torturing people and had information on everybody. Emma Watson apparently was in a movie that was done within the last... I'm saying last 3 or 4 years. Check it out. I'd never heard of it. And like, cause I've heard rumors of this, but I didn't know it was real.
What? The little town in Germany?
Colonia, or whatever it's called. Yeah. Cause you always hear it on these things. Oh, they went there, but they never have any proof and they never show anything. Apparently it's really hard to get any of these people to actually talk to you.
Oh yeah. There was a lot of German, SS officers that flew or, you know, fled immediately to Argentina once Germany was invaded. and
yeah, well, the Argentinian government was sort of sympathetic.
Yeah, they were a haven state for the German Nazi party.
Yeah, a lot of fucking people went over there. I mean, the scientists that didn't defect over to the States, you know, if they were going to be tried. Yeah, I mean, it was three choices. You're either a brilliant scientist and, hey, at the time we needed you because, you know, Russia.
Or US.
You went to Argentina. Thing. Oh, I mean, you know, it's fine. Like, we stole some scientists. It happened. It's fine.
We got to the fucking moon. Look it up.
Exactly. Yes. You know, that we were in the middle of an arms race. Yeah. So it was sort of like, hey, listen, we're gonna put a pin in this and come back to it later.
Actually, it's called paperclip, but,
yeah, Operation Paper. We're gonna put a paperclip.
So
let's get the names good right call. Now.
But the third option was Nuremberg.
Yeah.
You know, so
we did not hang enough people.
We definitely did not hang enough Nazis.
The most amazing thing was something I'd never heard of anywhere. I've never read in any history texts when they were talking about Werner von Braun. Basically, he's the guy who kick-started American rocket science. I think he made the V1 and V2.
Yes, you're right.
Rockets.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what that was, there was a bombing campaign from the beaches straight out over the pond, as they call it, back over to England. The Nazis dropped a shit ton of bombs over there.
Well, these were not just typical bombs. These were, I guess you'd call them the first, like, ballistic missiles, the international ballistic missiles. And they were somewhat intelligent, at least the second one was far as the navigation and stuff. But the most interesting thing that I heard was, he was like a true blue Nazi. I knew he was a Nazi, but I figured he was just a scientist who had to join the Nazi party to get what he wanted. No, apparently, according to this guy, and I got to look it up, he would hang the slowest slow Jews to show the rest of these guys, hey, if you don't speed up, this was going to happen. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, talking about the rocket factory where he worked and employed a lot of slave labor via Jews. Yeah, would supposedly hang the five slowest workers.
I never heard that anywhere. I mean, my whole life you hear nothing but people praise him, and it's like, okay, now.
Well, in context, you know, if it weren't for him, we would have never been able to do such and such, and they just leave out the thing, like they're what's his name, Fritz Haber. The guy that developed the Haber method to put nitrogen into soil, effectively saving like a third of the world's population because, crops and fertilizer, was also the guy who worked on mustard gas and then in World War II created a thing called Zyklon.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I never heard...
And then get this, by the way, at the end of his life, developed chemotherapy.
I'm not surprised, I mean, the thing about some of the programs that the Nazis were doing that were kind of hidden, and a lot of Nazi documents were destroyed right before we got to them. A lot of programs were shut down.
Or the Russians got them.
They were actually supposed to be killing everybody at the concentration camps. They didn't follow through with that. If they had done a lot of those things that they were supposed to have done that they weren't left time with, we wouldn't be even anywhere as near as advanced as we are today.
Now, there was something, and I don't know
a lot of the programs that they put into the ground that they were doing tests on were very fringe science things at the time. That helped advance humanity. Well, I'm not justifying their methods. I'm just saying that a lot of their things that Hitler was just like, go right ahead, do it, or didn't really give a shit about.
Well that's you're saying. You're sort of silver lining the situation,
exactly.
As it were.
That's what we have. A lot of things that we're saying, oh, these are great things, but we don't really look back at what these people were actually doing that got them there.
If I remember correctly, I don't know if it was the Germans or the Japanese, and how we got so much information on hyperthermia was we won't persecute you, but we want all your research. And I know we did that for Germany too.
Yeah, I don't know if we did it to Japan.
I don't remember.
If Werner von Braun were at Nuremberg, they would have tried him for war crimes.
Yeah,
to me that blew my mind, is because I'd never heard. You never hear anything bad about the dude. Every time you hear about him, and he's like, "Oh, this amazing scientist didn't realize he was anti-Semitic killer. It's like, that literally blew my mind, and I'm a huge fan of that time period.
The reason why...
Well, there's always been an asterisk next to his name.
Yeah, I didn't know that, which is amazing.
That we don't realize right now is we are in a very interesting time now as far as documents being released, because the American government has a certain time span on classified documents.
Is it like 50 years?
Yeah, that get released to the public, and then we can read them. There are still a lot of things that are blacked out that we won't know, just because classification type shit. But America has this. It's not necessarily that Germany or other supposedly socialized free states have. Russia, for damn sure, doesn't have any of it, and they probably won't ever release the things that the KGB knows about what the Nazi Party was doing. And so America, what we've done recently within the past 10, 15 years is a lot of those classified documents for World War One and in the 50s and 60s are finally being released, and we're starting to get a bigger grasp of how bad some of the things, experiments and things like that, the Nazi Party was doing that were classified.
I did learn one thing over the last couple of days since I heard that interview, and I knew it before, but it put a good exclamation mark on it. Never piss off the Mossad agents.
Oh, hell no.
Because apparently some of these Nazis lived up until the 80s at some point, and Mossad was literally just kidnapping them.
Yeah.
It is amazing to me. I mean, granted, these guys should have been done it years ago. So I just think it's amazing.
Look at,
up to the 90s.
Look at what Mossad did after the Munich attack at the Olympics.
Yeah,
you know, they went on like a 20-year campaign of killing people involved with that.
Yeah.
And then their successors. I mean, they did it in the movie pretty damn well. But they didn't cover all of it. Like, it was way longer and way bloodier in real life.
We did a movie back in our RFR days called The Last Debt, I think it was. And that's about some of the Mossad agents going after some of the Nazi guys. And
I vaguely remember
They don't forget. I mean, you
they
know.
They have a long memory.
Like, you want to say Jews are cheap or anything like that, but they have a memory too, man. They won't forget. They will pay you back eventually. That's kind of how they are. They don't pay you back eventually. They will get your grandkids.
Explains why you tried to get me back for all those Halo deaths all those years ago.
Oh, I haven't forgotten either.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah, you think it's done? This is done when I say it's done.
No, it just amazed me about Wernher von Braun and the fact that, you know, like how many higher up Nazis survived. It just blew my mind because I knew about some of it, but
quite a lot of Nazis that made it out. It's kind of actually disturbing how many Nazis we actually let off the hook. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean,
how
2000.
Many people did we hang at Nuremberg? It wasn't over 30. It was.
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
But there's quite a lot, but there was a lot more that got away with it. And the funny thing is that we didn't hang only the people that confessed. There was a lot of Nazis that still said to their dying breath that they were not guilty of all these crimes.
Wasn't it some of them? God, this is running into something I read years ago. Wasn't this the first time that said you don't have to follow the orders that your commanders give you?
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, that the Nazi and the German military at that time was very orders oriented.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I remember correctly said the Americans were fighting so good about it is the fact that against the Germans is Americans had a very dynamic fighting style versus needing permission to do everything, which ironically is what happened in the Iraq War when the American military was orders oriented.
Well, the Nazis also did cross the line on a lot of different things. You know, I mean, we had what was the pact that was done in World War One where we said we weren't going to use gas anymore? I can't think of the name of it.
The Treaty of Versailles?
Yes.
Well, I don't really blame Germany for not following most of the Treaty of Versailles.
Well, I'm saying that they did that against POW.
Or was it the Geneva Convention?
And what they said, what the POWs, they were gassing Russians, they were gassing Americans, they were gassing Poles, they were gassing basically everybody, and we had in the treaty that we weren't going to do that. But, you know, that was for the mustard gas shit, which, surprisingly, Hitler was quite against until they kind of came up with the final solution thing.
So this is kind of a subject change. Do you guys know who Glenn Jacobs is?
Do I want to know who Glenn Jacobs is?
Glenn Jacobs is also known by his famous WWE wrestling name by the name of Kane.
Oh, yeah.
He's like running for fucking Congress or something, right?
Of Knoxville, I think it's Knoxville, Tennessee. He is running for mayor. It's not the primary, it's the one before that. And so
nomination?
I don't remember. But he actually won the election for that, so he's going to be running in the primaries for the mayor. So do you imagine having the big red machine as mayor?
He was very eloquent on WWE.
I've actually listened to a number of his interviews, and he's actually very well spoken.
He is, but I'm just making a joke.
Oh, yeah. He's apparently known for being one of the smarter guys in the locker room. I'm not sure if wrestling and intelligence necessarily goes hand in hand, because I've heard some of these wrestlers in interviews.
Well, I mean, we're talking out of our ass, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we did have quite a bit of movie stars and other backward people that have been governor and mayors of, you know, parts of California. And
don't forget President fucking Reagan.
I was kind of glossing over Reagan in that, but I was kind of more going
Why would you gloss over Reagan?
I was going to throw out Arnold is the one that I was
thinking. Well, yeah, Arnold and Reagan.
What?
Yeah, but Reagan was
Arnold and Reagan.
Reagan what? Was better than Arnold.
What?
He was a movie star who became president, just saying.
What?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I
was waiting until John figured that out.
I just find it interesting, the fact that you have a wrestler who apparently everybody says is an amazingly nice guy, supposedly really intelligent.
That's what I kind of heard about him, too, is he a nice guy.
I just think it's interesting. I mean, he's 50 years old, so he's pretty much run the end of his career physically. Because Ric Flair, I think, wrestled into his 60s, but would you do that? So I think it's kind of neat.
That's why. That's all you had to say.
It'll be interesting. I'd be curious to see if he wins. I mean, what happens?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean,
it's a great exit strategy because you physically can't do that for the rest of your life.
I mean, Reagan was one of the most praised presidents that we've had. I mean, I don't have anything against him. I just think that, you know, I mean, he was a decent president who had a great financial and economic policies. That's about all.
Dare you? Are you trying to defend Reaganomics?
Yeah, Reaganomics were great.
I'm staying out of this
Clinton
one.
Clinton didn't do shit.
Wow.
Yeah, he just sat there at his desk, fondling cigars for hours on end.
I had a feeling this was going to go this direction. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mad Trio podcast disavows all political talk that's against anybody you actually like, because, well, we don't care.
Wait, somebody likes Clinton?
I know a number of people that like Clinton. Excuse me, I know a number of people who like Bill Clinton. I know very few people who like Hillary Clinton, especially at this point.
Anyway, I'm waiting for Brian to come against Reaganomics here. I haven't heard anything yet.
So there's
seriously the trickle down economics is the worst idea ever.
So we're gonna jump into another. There's a really badass video
on YouTube. Russian lady giving birth.
Of a YouTube video. He's a 102-year-old Holocaust survivor. Thought all of his family was dead. Spent the rest of his life after World War II thinking I'm the only survivor. Found out his brother lived, got to meet his nephew, who's probably, you know, in his 60s or 70s. One of the most amazingly heartwarming videos I've ever seen. I mean, this 102-year-old dude is just bawling.
Mel Brooks?
That'd be
awesome.
But if you get a chance, it's on the Interesting SHT, Interesting Shit Facebook page. It's literally called a Holocaust survivor, 102-year-old meets nephew after thinking family died. And it's one of the coolest videos ever because so many people do not have family. There's entire families that were wiped out because of World War II.
Yeah, quite a lot. There was towns and villages buried out in the middle of nowhere for years. I mean, they're still finding bodies and
watch the movie, Everything is Illuminated. Yeah. Just trust me. You'll thank us for it. Anybody's stories? Am I going to have to keep coming up with things? No, I just ran through my my list.
Through your thing.
Actually,
because I could bring up anime I've watched lately.
I was going to ask you earlier if you guys had ever played any of the Metal Gear Solid games.
I have not. I've always had an Xbox or I've been a PC gamer, so I kind of missed that. And the other ones I have played, I remember renting one of them, and it was fixed camera, and I hate fixed camera games. I never played them.
Yeah, the Metal Gear Solid 5 it came up free on Xbox, and I've been fucking addicted to this goddamn game lately.
When did it come up? This
month?
This month?
Or the half of this?
Yeah, this month. Yeah. It's free with the gold subscription for Xbox Live. And yeah, downloaded it because I'm like, okay, free game, I'll try it out.
Because I just got Assassin's Creed Syndicate for free too.
Yeah, it's still.
Oh, nice. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have bought this game, but I'm actually like really enjoying it. It's surprising.
I'll have to try it out because
it took a while to get through the weird ass intro. But
okay, now I'm definitely got to play it. If I have to go through 20 minutes of just holding the joystick one direction.
I mean, I was pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
The Halo
For sure. There's definitely that.
That's the one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you create games, do me a favor. Hit a skip button because I normally just hit skip on cutscenes. Yeah. Or don't, or at least do it like Half-Life 2 did, if you can remember that. Is you were in the cutscene, you could walk around, so you could goof around where the person was going, meh, 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 meh.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was my favorite thing. Because you could screw around or shoot at them.
Yeah, they did a little bit in the original Halo.
Until you killed Captain Keyes.
Hey, that was still fun. Just unload all your ammo at the kneecaps of the Marines who cannot die.
I mean, I love the fact that he handed you the weapon that you shot him with.
Yeah, I mean,
who cares if you're Benedict Arnold?
What's the fun of playing games like that if you can't be a traitor?
Yeah. I mean, we killed the Marines anyways. I mean, they were terrible gunners.
I didn't mean to happen.
Yeah,
I didn't mean
sure.
to kill the Marines. They just ended up in front of me every time.
Jackass wanted to drive the vehicle, so I executed him. So what?
Okay, yeah. If you touch the Scorpion, yeah, sorry. You got to go.
Yeah.
But every time I was trying to protect these guys, this bozo walked in front of me. The next thing I know, I got to kill all his buddies because all his buddies are attacking me.
Hey, that was kind of fun. That was part of the fun of the game.
It's kind of annoying, though. You're trying to save somebody. It's like, shit.
I mean, there should have been an achievement for killing all the Marines.
It's something.
You know? Actually, were there achievements at that point in Xbox? I don't think there were.
I don't think so. I think achievements were a 360 thing. Wow, that was awfully girly.
I mean, are you shooting cats? The silencer?
If he's shooting cats with silencers, he's definitely not doing it legally, because, well, you can't get silencers legally in the state of California.
Okay, a blowgun?
Those are still illegal in the state of California.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. California.
All the fun stuff is illegal.
It's like the worst thing is to get on a gun forum or talk to people about guns, and they're like, oh, I'm from Arizona. I'm from Texas. It's like, oh, God, I want to kill you people.
I have you beat. Go to the SHOT Show, which is the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show. It's one of the world's largest gun shows for manufacturers and accessory and outdoor people. And I got to see some of, a lot of guns that will never get in the state of California, and I was weeping because a modern-day carbine that uses Glock magazines that shoots 45 pistol caliper that I've always wanted, and I can't get it in the state of fucking California.
Legally.
Yeah. I got to shoot a bullpup Gatling gun. One of the old school crank handle ones. That was cool.
Yeah, I've seen those. Those are pretty nice.
Only $50,000. And again, illegal in the state of California. Like somebody's going to strap a like couple of thousand pound hand cranked Gatling gun to a back.
I'd give it a try.
No.
Why not?
Because you'd have to reload in the middle
of it. Well, James, you're the reason that people want gun legislation.
Not going to argue that point. I mean, if I could go down the street with a 50 BMG, I would.
I still have, because it's...
I climb up on top of a building.
At some point in time, I'm going to buy a Barrett 50 caliber, or the I think it's the 416, which is legal in California. I have this imagination of me having a daughter, and I'm going to strap my Barrett to the wall, because at like $12 a round, I'll never be able to shoot it enough. So I have this idea, my daughter brings home her first boyfriend, and he sees this giant 20-pound gun strapped to the wall.
Yeah, but you should also put one of the bullets right below his seat as he goes to sit down.
No, this is what's going to feel like.
I'm going to show up 30 seconds late.
I'm going to have 5 or 6 round, splayed on the wall, and just go, you see that? Just remember, I'm watching. And that's it.
You should go and buy one of the trimmers. things and say, this is what it kills.
Even better, have like a ghillie suit sitting half exposed.
Yeah.
The Barrett I really like, it's the Barrett Lightweight 50 that has the arrowhead compensator. Yeah. And I was reading stories about guys carrying them in Iraq. He said, the only problem about those is the people next to you, your spotter and somebody else hate you. Well, you don't feel anything because the way that compensator works, the people next to you are coughing and, just hating life because all they're getting is the concussion from the weapon.
Yeah, I bet.
Because it literally looks like a giant arrowhead. It's an amazing, amazing piece of weaponry.
I've always wanted to fire one of those. What I really want, I want like a truck gun that's chambered in like 45-70.
That'd be nice. I really want a 50 BMG. Just the fact that's what the Ma Deuce, the 50 caliber Browning shoots, the military steer uses.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, up until 2000 something, the Ma Deuce, the 50 caliber, still had the long distance record of like 2,500 feet sniper kill.
Mm. Yeah.
A gentleman by the name of Carlos Hathcock changed his cyclical route so it was like semi-automatic and killed somebody with a fully automatic machine gun from like 2,500 feet. And then somebody beat it by like a mile.
Yeah, but no matter how bad Carlos Hathcock was, he's still not as bad as White Death. That dude was literally insane. If you don't know who that is, go look him up.
Or Uxilis. Finish, right?
Yes. No, even Yaitsev was not as freaking badass as White Death.
He's one of my favorite guys just because I have a Mosin-Nagant, and I don't know if they were more accurate then. They're definitely not super accurate now.
I just think it's crazy that Polish guy, literally like half his body was like destroyed from just all the times that he came close to dying, killed a whole platoon, and made it back, and he's like 50 miles behind enemy lines doing this shit by himself. Killed a platoon just by killing one guy, taking that guy's gun, killing the rest of the guys after he's been shot 5 times.
So the guy who we mentioned was on the Joe Rogan podcast. I think he was a sniper, and it was the first time I've heard.
He's not a sniper.
He's not. I thought he was, said he was, but it's one of the first times I've heard a gun guy say stuff in public about what it takes to be a sniper or what you have to calculate, which is interesting because usually most people.
Well, he was talking about that because he was mentioning he does competitive long range shooting.
Ah. Oh, that's right. And I thought it was kind of neat because I'm a gun guy, so that's all stuff I understand and maybe not do, but I get it. It was interesting because he's talking about wind speed, bullet drift. He's talking about the Coriolis effect, the curvature of the earth.
Yeah,
it's just really cool, and it's funny. Joe Rogan just goes, "Yeah," It's like you're talking about calculating for the curvature of the Earth so you can drop your bullet enough to get it, or the fact over distances the bullets have a tendency to drift because of the spin and the wind. And it's just it's pretty cool to hear somebody talk about who knows what they're talking about on the calculations you have to do in order to make a long distance shot.
It is actually pretty damn crazy.
It's insane. That's why I kind of like shooting and stuff in general, just because the ballistic challenges, you know, it's millimeters make a difference, like a huge difference. So trying to do something, you're trying to do 15 things right at the same time, and it's difficult, you know. It's a cool thing to do when you get right.
But the old guy actually shot a it wasn't a deer. It was something like that. Elk actually shot at 7,000 yards. Nice. And you realize how long a shot that is. And it's amazing what you do to have to calculate that. The other thing on the show I appreciated, they were talking about, killing animals.
Wait, I'm sorry. Back up for a second. How far was that shot?
700 yards.
Oh, 700 yards.
Yeah, I said 700.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is still, by the way, a hell of a shot. That's
over half a mile.
It's still, to think about that is amazing, because that's still, you have to calculate for a lot of different varying degrees. Variables. And the coolest,
English is not his first language.
I just don't have a first. The most interesting thing, and the thing I like the most, is they're talking about hunters and hunting and why you need it. It's like the hunting tags and stuff you get actually pays for a lot of the conservation efforts you get. One of the issues the California and other states are finding out, there's not as many hunters. So they're finding they have to actually find other resources for revenue in a lot of these places. Also telling how not a lot of people, but a certain subset of hunters like to kill things at the longest range they can. That's not really good for the animal when you want to get as close as you can so you can, one shot. You just make sure it's just off. Yeah. Instead of, bleeding to death's a horrible way to die for anything.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I appreciate Joe Rogan's podcast for having people who actually, A, know what they're talking about, and B, doesn't have a host that shouts over them like many podcasts do.
Oh, God. Ryan, what's that show that you had me get into? The hunting one?
Meat Eater.
Yeah, Meat Eater. Joe Rogan actually is on that show at one point.
And well, Joe Rogan is the one who had Steve Rinella on, who is the host of that show that got me to watch the damn thing in the first place.
Yeah.
So apparently we're going to spend this whole fucking episode talking about Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah. Can he just send me $5 every time I say his name? I mean, I might say it again. Now you're not getting shit. I don't have $5 in my pocket.
I can talk about another podcast I watched. Ever heard of, I think it's called Hot Ones? Ever seen it? It's a YouTube show?
Yeah.
The YouTube show?
Yeah.
Alton Brown was on it last month. And I've seen half a dozen episodes. Most of them are amazing. Alton Brown was actually reviewing the hot sauce as he was tasting it. And one of them, he's like, whoa, I could make this one better. I do have to say, Alton Brown went from a guy who I think is cool to, I think he's kind of a dick now. He seems kind of arrogant.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, but when you're Alton Brown, you can be arrogant.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, he probably has the ability to do it, but it just comes off bad on when he's not being an announcer on...
Or a host?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what host? I'm saying is everything that dude has done outside of hosting Iron Chef. You know, is actually like he's a legitimate connoisseur and chef.
I really liked was it Good Eats?
Oh yeah,
I loved that show. That was my favorite show he did. So anybody else have any?
Nothing that drops off the top of my head. I mean, I kind of looked up White Death again. That guy's freaking amazing, dude. If you guys don't know who this guy is, go look him up. I swear to God, you will be impressed.
Ryan, anything interesting? You always have interesting things to say.
No, I was actually just trying to think of the name of that woman sniper who had like a couple hundred confirmed kills.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
And then there was Dr. Ruth, who was an Israeli sniper.
You're talking about the one that created her own sniper squad, right?
I think maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, because there was a female platoon that was started in Russia that ended up with like 5 different female snipers that were out just killing people. They just kind of said, here's a gun, here's the ammunition, go have fun.
So
yeah. She went out and started killing a bunch of people and got a bunch of other females who became, I mean, very good shots. Very good shots.
Now, have any of you guys seen the new Deadpool movie?
Not yet.
Ryan?
I'm probably going to go in the next couple of days, hopefully.
Because I probably won't be able to see it for another 5 years.
Why not? Take your kid.
No, I'm
take
not.
Your wife. Take your kid.
My wife loved it. I am not taking a 16-month-old son to see Deadpool, even though just at this point he won't.
Just get him the whole, you know, little face mask thing and earplugs and just let him play.
He definitely won't remember it like that 6-year-old will.
Yeah, stick an Oculus on him.
Oh, God. Liam Neeson to join Chris Hemsworth in Men in Black spinoff.
Wait a minute, what?
Liam Neeson joining Chris Hemsworth in Men in Black spinoff.
What? Why? Wasn't Men in Black 3 worse, bad enough? I mean, dear
God. Is that
God.
The one where that's the one who went back in time? Right?
Yeah, but Men
in Black. Does anybody remember the cartoon they did of Men in Black back in the day?
No, don't bring that.
I liked the cartoon. It was entertaining. Okay, is awfully strong. It was. I watched it and I didn't have an issue with it.
I mean, The Tick was on the same year. What am I going to pick? Men in Black, the cartoon, or The Tick?
I'm just going to pick the MC Hammer cartoon that came out in the early 90s.
I watched all of it because I was raised by television.
Okay, so you guys remember the Super Mario show?
Yes. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's too young.
That's on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah, and my son found it. God, I forgot how bad those two guys were at acting. They were horrible. But you didn't watch it for them. You watched it for the cartoons in the middle.
Well, when the two people doing the movie were drunk half the time, you realize how bad the TV show had to be with different actors that weren't real actors.
Don't besmirch that guy's name.
Why? I mean, there's nothing wrong with admitting the movie was so bad you had to drink the whole time.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, Men in Black 2 was shit, though.
I did find something interesting.
Did you lose Ryan?
Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I keep hearing clicking. That's why I wasn't sure. What all the clicking was. I think it's because John's fiddling with his phone.
I was looking for something. I wanted to find something that it was about the Tomb Raider release date.
The movie?
Yeah, the new one on DVD.
Oh, on DVD.
No, it was interesting.
Like in 2 weeks.
Well, here's the thing. The Tomb Raider Blu-ray release date is set for June 12, 2018, available on DVD and Amazon on May 29th, 2018. The surprising thing for me is they're releasing the Blu-ray so late.
Yeah, that's
strange. I don't understand why.
Because digital is easier to whip up on the internet really fast.
How freaking hard is it to make a Blu-ray?
I'm just surprised that they're not releasing it on the same day. Yeah. And this movie must have made some money because it wasn't an instantaneous release. Most movies are, you know, they're within a month or two of their final theater run. Hmm. And this was released in April or March?
I don't know. I know it came out recently, though.
Yeah, the beginning part of this year. I still want to see it. It got okay reviews.
I don't read reviews anymore.
And I look on.
I mean, everybody's got an opinion.
I look on Meta reviews, kind of like, you know, when you get a bunch
of
sources.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, I kind of look what the general census is.
You know, after we did the show for so long, I think all IMDb reviews are shit.
I know the descriptions
are. I just gotta say, I mean, I've read their reviews on a few hundred different movies, and you guys are idiots.
Well, if it makes you
feel... I'm talking about the actual critics ones, not the user reviews. Those are dumb enough on their own.
Well, if it makes you feel better, the user...
You guys are fucking idiots.
If it makes you feel better, they said the same thing about us. I know, but
I read their shit, though. I mean, it's just like, are you guys this stupid that you're going to post this shit online?
Why not?
I know, they said the same shit about me. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, you guys are idiots.
Hold on, now I'm curious. I'm trying to see if I can find the new Tomb Raider on...
IMDb?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you
can. 2018, here we go. So it got a 6.8 out of 10 rating.
Yikes.
That's better than a lot of movies.
But it's only been out for a couple months, so.
Box office budget. Okay.
I mean, Taxi Driver, you idiots.
So the box office budget
and
was
Dog Day Afternoon.
Budget was $94 million. Opening weekend is $23 million. Gross worldwide was $273 million, $233,200. Yeah, so it made money. So you might actually see a sequel. So it'll be interesting to see how it does. Total in the U.S. was, wow, only $57 million.
That's not too bad.
Well, so anything for, as we slowly wind down the show, as we talk about Tomb Raider again and movies?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I was getting kind of pissed off at Ryan, did you see Mindhunter?
You saw Enemy Mine.
The TV show?
Yeah, the one on Netflix.
No.
The FBI one? Dude,
No, I'm familiar with which one it is, like the early days of the profiling.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually an interesting show, but, you know, there's one part in there that they actually are doing, like, hostage negotiation type shit, and they had the people watch the movie Dog Day Afternoon, the Al Pacino piece of shit. God, that movie is so fucking bad.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.